This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby. One of my favorite songs right now. That is Midnight Staring by DJ Maphorisa featuring my girl, Boosie. Hey, this is the weekly mashup. Welcome to it. My name is Dimisha Masha, and I don't travel alone. You should see Candy today, but she's in the studio.
In the studio, baby.
Say what's up, Candy. Greet the people.
Hello, people. It's Candice Mama. How are you? Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Are you happy to be here, Candy?
I always love being here.
I noticed that you're wearing a lovely jersey, but it's a little bit torn. Are you getting ready for the poverty that is coming upon us? It's more than a little bit torn. It's like totally shredded.
This is Zara. Okay.
Are you getting ready for the look that will be a very real look in about a year's time?
Why?
Because you'll be wearing an old jersey because our economy is so bad.
No.
That you'll be like, we'll all be broke.
I gotta go. See, you know, poverty does not suit me. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen me
it
poor?
It just won't work, eh?
No, it would look. Yeah, no, yeah. Poor does not sit well on me.
No.
I'm not one of those people who can't wear my poverty.
Yeah.
You know, like there's some of, especially brown people, like my people. who can wear poverty well because they walk out the house and they don't look poor. They just look good.
They just look all right.
They look all right.
Normal. It's like another day. Right. It's a Tuesday.
Exactly. For me, I feel like poverty would definitely show up.
You wouldn't know what to do.
No, I wouldn't.
Because you wouldn't know that you can actually wear a torn jersey that is actually torn. You have to go to Zara and buy a brand new one.
Yes,
or you have to go to Zara and buy brand new torn jeans. You don't know that you can actually have your own torn jeans that are just old.
Yeah, I don't even understand that sentence structure.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, that sounds like Chinese to me.
So what did you think of the budget speech?
I didn't see it. So what happened?
I don't know. They said it's like an interim budget speech. It's like a mini budget speech.
Yeah, like in just for now.
But to put it in context and to, you know, minimize what he said and reduce it.
Yeah, for the
audience, the sake of time.
And for me.
Basically, what the minister said is that we are actually finally broke. However, the government will not cut down its spending on the government. So we will always have a massive government and a massive cabinet and people who are not doing anything but getting paid for it anyway. So too bad for you poor people. It's just the way it is. Middle class, you're in the worst place to be because the only way the government can raise more money is by taxing you further.
That sounds like fun.
I'm so
excited.
I'm done. I've decided I don't want to be middle class anymore. I'm done with it.
Are you middle class though?
I am.
Are you?
Mm.
When did
upper middle class, but I don't want to be.
You know, like South Africa's got the biggest middle class in the world.
Yeah, we're all middle class. As long as you're paying something off, ne?
Yeah.
Whether it's your house, even if you've got 5 cars and you're paying them off.
Yeah, no, that's
true. You are middle class.
Yep.
You're just fancy middle class.
Yeah. You're bougie middle class. You're middle class.
Yep. You are the one we are taxing.
Yeah. You are feeling it the most.
Yes. When you're rich is when you decide, I like that estate, I'll buy it. You don't even ask how much. So in monthly installments and how much deposit? No, you just go. I'm here to buy this.
No, and not the house. The estate.
Yeah, the estate. The whole thing.
The whole damn thing.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I'm not excited about that. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like 2017 has shown us flames. Like, it is just a universally flame-showing year.
I don't know. I think 2017 has been a great year. You know, I've been thinking about this, guys.
Okay, I'm listening.
And I believe that we should not be feeling down right now. We're living in amazing times. But here's the most amazing thing about everything that's happening right now, especially in South Africa. And I think the rest of the world as well, because what has happened is we have seen that even though we have democracy, we as people are capable of choosing really lousy leaders on purpose. Like, no one put a gun to our head to do it. No one made these educated Americans who should know better go and choose Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But they did. No one made us choose Jacob Zuma twice. We chose him twice. Not just once, twice. 2 terms. Okay? And it's generally very smart people who chose him the second time.
Yeah.
And we're in a position now where he is showing us that, guys, at the end of the day, you are a democracy. Just grow some balls and be a democracy. Like, if you don't like it, change it.
Okay. No, I love
He's
that.
He's daring
that's
us.
That's very empowering, Martin Luther King. But
yeah, we are the change that we will see.
I can see you woke up on the empowerment side of the bed today. me, on the other hand, I'm just looking at life like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, like you just like, what the
fuck? I'm just like, the fuck?
Huh?
Like, exactly.
But why?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, damn, like choosing a husband's going to get tougher and tougher now that everyone's getting broker and broker. So it's like, I don't know, man. It just seems like a really tough time. But I honestly do get what you're saying. Like, I think more people are realizing that you can't leave the power in the government's hands, right?
No.
Because government will disappoint you constantly.
They're humans
they're
at
like,
the end of
they're
the
like
day.
Like an absent father.
Yeah.
You know, like that one who comes back every now and again to check that you're breathing.
Yeah. No. He's that one that comes back once you've made it. He wasn't there the whole time. Like your single mother had to sort out your piano classes and buy you the outfits and take you to the beauty pageants and the contests. And then you get to 25, right? And you get onto America's Got Talent and you get the $1 million. And suddenly your father appears. Candace, it's
me. I am your father.
I am your father. And
you're like, bitch, no.
Where have you been? You don't even look like me. Because now you made it. You're looking good. You're like, how can you be my father?
You've got the money
you're
glow.
You're ashy. You've got the money glow.
No, it's true. That's exactly what government
that's
is like.
That's
like
our government.
An abusive husband or like
it's
an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
You know, the partner you shouldn't keep going back to. But you,
why
like
do we
Jay-Z?
Say an abusive husband? No, I think it should be it's an abusive wife.
No.
You know why it's an abusive wife?
Let's hear this.
I tell you why
Jay-Z's
an abusive wife.
I'm listening.
Because he knows he can abuse you, ne?
Yeah.
And like abuse you.
Yeah.
And if you go to the police, they'll just laugh at you. They'll be like, she did what? How can you let a little girl like that beat you up? Right? And then the day you decide, I've had enough, and you smack her one, bah! Yo! It's on you. Look, I'm not advocating women abuse people. It's wrong. That shit is wrong. You go to the police as many times as you need to go, again and again, okay? But that's what Jay-Z's like. Because you see what Jay-Z's doing to us? He's like, take me to court.
I dare you.
He's like, take me to court. We take him
to
court.
I double dog dare
you. And
then
in the middle of it, he's like, actually, you know what, guys? I'm not in the mood for this anymore. Let's just quit. Let's just like not do this anymore, guys.
Let's say we did. Let's not.
Let's not say we did, right?
You know.
Like out of the blue. Like, but Jay-Z, you were the one who brought us to court. How do you in the middle of the court thing say, no, you know what, guys? You know, I'm not in the mood anymore, guys. Let's not play this thing. That's what Jay-Z is doing to us.
But I don't know. Globally, though, I've got no hope. I've got no hope in our global structure. I've got no hope in... I've got there's no political leader in the world right now that I'm looking at. Like, damn.
Even the French guy, French guy,
he's really
as hot. He married his preschool, primary school teacher.
Okay, but can you just like lament on how hot he is, just for a minute?
Lament on that while you think about how hot this hot guy.
Yes.
Looked at all of you. You were one of the
people. Wasn't there.
No, you were eligible.
No. I'm pretty sure if I was there, he would have chosen me.
That you were young. You are in this world. If he wanted to, he would have found you and he would have chosen you. But instead, he looked at you, Candace.
And he was like, no thanks.
He looked at you with your torn fancy jersey and your fancy hair. And he said,
no thanks.
I'll just go get my primary school teacher.
I'll swipe left. He swiped left on you.
And he got his primary school teacher.
No, you know what? I actually get what he's doing. Like, I get people who do that, to be honest. Can
what?
I tell
that
you
is
why?
Some crazy sexual freakish fantasy.
No. That I don't get. I don't get why he needs to go fish like this old lady. No disrespect to the French.
Or old ladies.
But what I do get is people who don't go for necessarily good-looking people or who don't go for, I don't know, like people... Like, if you are, let's say, a 10... You know, on the dating scale.
Yeah.
And I feel like going for a 3 is good. Like,
what?
It's like, no. But let me tell you why, right? They'll always appreciate you. They'll always be happy that you're there. They'll just be happy that you pitched up. And,
mad.
Listen.
That's crazy
like,
talk.
You remember that song? If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's crazy talk.
No, listen.
That's crazy. Because you know what? I've heard women say that. And women say, why do you say this? Why are you misleading other women?
No. But I mean, I'm not talking from experience.
No, don't listen to Candace. She is steering you wrong. You know what I mean? Women say stupid stuff like that. Like, you must get a guy, you know, who's like, he's not your best. He's just a guy, you know, he's just barely making it. He's not very good looking. He's got a dead end job because, you know, he's got a great job, but he's got a terrible body. He's not in shape. He's got a wart on his nose. He's got no personality because no other woman would want him. He's mine.
Okay, let's be.
And
okay.
Then what does that guy do?
Okay,
he gets you and then realizes, hey, I can get a 10. Ladies, I'm giving you this advice for free.
That is true. Actually.
He realizes actually. I can
so
get
true.
A 10. I am somebody. Let me do it again.
If I could get her, I can definitely get a 10.
And
that
you know what he does?
So
he
true.
Does go and get someone else. And then you're wondering why this ugly mofo is cheating on you. And you're crying to us and we're like, But you married an ugly guy, and look at how ugly your kids are now.
Oh!
And he's cheating on you now.
Okay, guys, that got lit. But let me tell you something, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like as a woman, okay, for me personally, dating very good looking people is a problem. Because they
Why?
Make, okay, dating unattractive people is also a problem because, you know, unattractive people, there's nothing worse than getting your heart broken by someone who you didn't even want to date in the first place.
No, I don't do that.
And you're like,
myself.
But hello, like I was here all along and here you are breaking my heart. But I have to say that there is something to be said about a guy who worships you and who really adores you and who thinks you walk on water and like, you know, that nothing you do can be wrong.
Hey.
See, excuse me. Okay.
Let me give you some big brother
advice. This is my 2017 advice for y'all.
I'm so glad Candace brought this up because I think some people out there need that big brother advice. And I'm here for
y'all,
you girls.
Y'all need Jesus.
I'm here for you. Let me tell you something. You can still get that guy who adores you, thinks you walk on water, but he's hot. Look at Megan Good and Devon Franklin.
Yeah, but it took Megan a good old time to get there. Like,
she had to get to a point where she realized she has to stop her whoring around. I'm sorry to say it like it is. Oh gosh, I'm gonna get such bad hate mail.
Okay, Twitter, go.
Black Twitter, go. Sa.
Unleash, open the gate, go.
No, but okay, let me put it the way Megan put it, okay? Megan said that what she did was she stopped sleeping around and realized that just sleeping with guys was not getting her anywhere.
Okay.
So she had to actually get the guy off. She decided, I'm getting the guy of my dreams, guys, and that's that. And I'm going to make this special and I'm going to make it wonderful.
I love
it. And so she went for that guy.
I love
it. And it was the end of that.
Yes.
And, you know, there was her Prince Charming.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to say to you, before you throw stones, is this.
And pitchforks.
And pitchforks. Don't get a guy who's beneath you. Don't belittle yourself by just going out. And this is for the ladies. I'm sorry. I'm saying it like it is. Don't sleep with guys who are beneath you just because... That's all
you
that's happening
bad.
Right now, you know. Yeah, because you think, you know, it's not like, I'm not going anywhere, and maybe he'll stick around if I do. Close your legs. Decide that you are going for the top guy that
the
you can get.
Upper inch
everything, roll. The looks, the ambition, the career, the love,
whatever you feel you deserve.
He's a great father. He's going to be a great father to your kids.
Yeah.
He loves his mother, but he loves you. Everything. He's going to love your family.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what?
What?
You love yourself enough to know that you are worthy of such a man.
Yes. Okay,
and that
look,
man will appear.
Okay, so I was saying it in jest about dating an unattractive person. I was saying it in jest, to be honest. But
after all of that.
After all of that.
Black Twitter.
Black Twitter is like pitching you.
Yeah.
No. But I think it is important that we need to date according to our worth, right? And sometimes you date because you're lonely, or you date because you're like, you know, shame. I feel so bad. He's been so persistent. But I just...
He did call me 3 times. Shame.
33 times. Finally, let me respond to a DM. women go through the most out here. Okay. But all I'm saying is, like, 2017 has taught me that, firstly, not every man I date has to be my husband.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just date for fun. Sometimes it's great to just meet people and date. And
I like that. That's
cool. You know, like, I mean, you know how I was in my dating. Like, I was like, every man I'd meet, I'd be like, see, this is my future hubby. Like, this is the man.
This is the one.
And then I break up and I'm here, all
you're
emotional
broken.
And shit.
You're a broken bird. We need to heal you so you can fly again.
And then you heal me up just to go back and do the same shit.
To another guy who's the same guy, but just in a different...
I'm like, but he's white, though. Like, he can't do
the same
shit. Really?
Yeah.
And then I keep repeating the same patterns, right? But now, like, as a woman, I think that you do need to go through your phases of just dating, of just meeting people.
I suppose. Look,
like,
I think there's nothing wrong with
that. You're not aiming
that.
For prince. And, but on that note, you raised something very interesting that I want us to delve into.
Okay,
you, as Tamisha Masha, would you date a woman who vowed celibacy?
Oh, definitely. At this point in my life, I would.
Yes.
I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying that I would. I'm okay with that. I'm ready for that.
You're good for that.
I'm good. My only thing is you yourself have to be ready in your heart for something like that. Because if you're not, then you're just wasting each other's time.
Okay.
And the woman who's celibate needs to actually date a guy who she says, look, I'm celibate. You have to be willing to do this with me.
Yes.
Or you have to be celibate yourself. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just two people who are going to break each other's heart.
Hey, well, you know.
But you're expecting, like, no ways. I would never do that. I need to get laid in a relationship.
Well, most men do, but I think most men say they do.
And this is a hard lesson. I'm going to be honest about my own particular experience.
Yes.
I think what I've learned over the years is men, we lie to each other.
Okay.
We will say to each other, ah, you know, I need sex. And, you know, lately my wife is not giving it up. So what does she expect me to do?
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to go and have it elsewhere. Because you go through cycles in a relationship where you're not going to have sex.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Sometimes it's for a good thing. She just had a baby and she really can't.
Yeah.
Sometimes, spiritually, she's at a place where just for a little while, this is not going to happen.
Yes.
Or negative things because you are really not showing up as the man that she wanted to be with.
Yeah.
And she's not withholding because she's punishing you, but she's not able to. So what do we do? I say to my friends, this is what's the situation.
Yes.
Now, they're also going through something similar, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And to console ourselves, we don't say, hey, guys, this thing.
Let's go to the strip club.
So let's go to the. Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go to the strip club.
Yeah.
Let's go to these restaurants and these bars and see which chicks we can get.
Yes.
The common phrase is, arokrang stoko.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. And then what happens? A couple of years later, we slept with like other people in our relationship. We're either still stuck in our relationship, but now we've got trust issues and we've really complicated our relationships. We've messed it up. Because the worst thing to do when you're fighting is to go sleep with someone else, right?
Yeah.
That's not a way to solve this thing.
Well, it's a way to fuck it up.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Or we're divorced now and we're lamenting the fact that if only I'd kept it in my pants, that wouldn't have happened.
Mm.
What was my point?
Okay. No, but on that point, actually, there's this joke. I mean, Chris Rock is my favorite comedian of all time. Mm-hmm. And he's got this one joke that says, a man is only as faithful
as his options.
Yeah. So
but
what
Chris
do you think?
Lying.
No, but no, T, because I feel like
Chris has learned the hard way to be faithful.
Faithful. Well, he hasn't.
He
was in
that scandal.
He's divorced
now.
He's divorced, and now he's dating a very cute girl. But whatever. So I don't know. Like, I mean, I find that a lot of comedians joke about cheating because they think to themselves, oh, because
they are cheating at that time.
But you know what the funny thing about comedians is? They say the truth.
Yes.
We just laugh about it because we think that, oh, that's so ridiculous.
But the best comedy is honest. It's the truth, right?
It's honesty, right? Mm-hmm. So do you think that we live in a time whereby, what does Kanye say? He says love is cursed by monogamy, right?
Or didn't he say love is cursed, says monogamy?
No, love is cursed by monogamy.
Love is cursed by monogamy. Or love is cursed, says monogamy.
No, it's by monogamy. I've read the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
Don't fight me on this, damn it.
I feel like I've also read the lyrics. I mean, I was a huge Kanye fan
last
year.
No, lies. But I feel like when he says love is cursed by monogamy, what he's saying is, when you choose to only be with one person, that person at one point or another is going to get on your damn nerves, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to be like, they're going to make you sick. And you're going to be
they're
like, do I even...
They're going
to make you sick. To your stomach.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, do I even love this person though?
Yeah.
Do I even love this? Yeah. Why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why would I choose this life for myself?
Yeah. Why have I chosen this life and how do I get out?
So do you think if society accepted it, that most men would not choose monogamy?
I don't know. I think most men would choose monogamy in the
You
end.
Think?
I think you just look. I'm a growing spirit being.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm evolving all the time. I'm learning all the time.
Okay.
And I'm learning now something that I've always known.
Yes.
Which is actually, there is no other way but monogamy.
Ooh.
In a monogamous relationship.
Okay, well,
because then what do we call this thing that we have? Like, think about it, Candy. You're telling me about monogamy right now, right?
I am.
Would you be okay if a man that you love cheated on you?
No.
You wouldn't be okay with
it? No.
Would you be okay with cheating on the man that you love?
Of course. No, I'm kidding. I'm playing, guys. That was just
like
a joke. No.
Like a real Leo.
No. No, of course not. I feel like there has to be mutual respect. But what I'm finding is, in this dating space I find myself in, no one wants to really say they're committing, including myself, you know? So it's like, let's say you go on a date with like five different people, you meet five different people and you get along with three of those, right? So you're like, the one is the guy who just makes you laugh. There's nothing really chemistry wise there, but he makes you laugh.
Yeah.
And then the other one, you know, there's a lot of chemistry there, but he doesn't stimulate you intellectually. And then there's the other one. So then you start thinking to yourself, but I've got three good guys. How do I narrow it down to the one, right? So you have options. And I feel like that's what the problem with society is. Everyone's got too many damn options. Whereas back in the day, like it was like, this is Bob, this is Sarah, y'all are getting married, good.
There were always options back in the day. I mean, at some point we're supposed to talk about like Christmas decor in October.
Yes.
We're still talking about the budget, people. That happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's put people in the loop who are listening right now and going, what is this show about? But you said, no, this is part of it. This is part of it. This is why South Africa is going bankrupt, because we have these problems. Here's the thing, right?
Yes.
When you're dating, you are finding someone that one day will be your future spouse.
Okay.
Your husband or your wife.
Yes.
Who you will spend the rest of your life with.
Yeah.
Now, when you decide to get married, you are deciding that you are going to live your life according to institutional mores and laws.
Okay.
In other words, you have chosen an institution within which to frame your relationship.
Yes.
Now, some people get it confused because they choose an institution and then want to change the rules of the institution. Why
story.
Did you choose that institution?
True story.
Don't choose it. Just call yourselves, like, we're just living together.
We're cohabitating,
or, you know, we're still chilling. We're seeing
kicking
how it's going to go. We're kicking it. You know, if it's good, we're going to stay. If it's not, we're going to go. That's cool. But people decide, no, let's get married. And then once they're married, they decide, but let's change the rules of marriage to suit us now.
Yeah.
And then wonder why it didn't work out.
That's
you can't
problem.
Do that. You chose to get married. And according to the principles of marriage, modern marriage that we have all decided, this is the convention of marriage. One of the conventions of marriage is till death do you part. You forsake all others to choose this person. What you're doing is you're choosing to be with one person who's going to be now a member of your family.
Yes.
Do you decide?
You're adopting this person into your
life. Do you
life.
Ever get like really pissed off with your mom?
Of course.
Like to the point where you're like, if I could, I would send you in and I'd get another one. I'd just exchange you.
Yes. Trade you in. Yeah.
But can you?
No.
So what do you choose to do at that point? You decide,
I'm going to walk away and I'm going to come back, and you better have your attitude right now.
There you go.
I'm kidding. I'd never
Drops
think
mic.
That about my mother. But
it's
a true story. It's true. But I just think that everything that's happening right now in society as a whole, right? I mean, there is this degeneration of everything's breaking apart. Marriages are breaking apart. Loyalty's breaking apart. Society's breaking apart. Like, things that were not normal and acceptable a couple of years ago are all of a sudden
really
okay.
Normal now.
Like, there's now side chicks can come out proudly and be like, yeah, I'm a side chick.
You know
what you can do about it?
On social media.
And it's like,
in the daylight.
Like, what? Yes! In broad daylight. They're not even doing the walk of shame anymore. Like, they're just doing it.
They're just walking out your house, driving out your estate in an Uber. As you're driving in.
But that's the problem. So like, there's a particular person who lives in my I feel like I'm snitching on people.
In
but
your estate.
No.
Yeah,
but,
no, that's
but
what
in
you
my
said.
General like in my general space.
Okay, the estate next door.
No. But like, there's a person who claims to be their side chick, and they say it very proudly. They're like, I'm so and so side chick. Yeah. Don't you see me around the hood? I'm like, damn, girl, you need to calm your ass down to that shit.
Yeah,
like, you need to calm down. You know? And I'm saying, like, the fact that women can proudly claim it and be like, well, yes, you know, this person's got like a girlfriend or a wife or a partner, but I'm still there. That's a problem to me.
We've lost our love for ourselves.
Yes.
Our love for us. We don't love ourselves enough.
Yeah.
Because if you love yourself enough, at some point you'd be like, what do I really want to be?
What are my expectations in this union?
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I don't want to be a side guy my whole life or a side chick.
Side
I really
guy.
Don't.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Yeah.
We got a thing.
it cheapens who you are.
Side chickery has always been there.
It has.
It did it differently. Like, I don't know how many urban or listeners we have, but like a woman to woman, right? There was a Shirley Caesar song that was like, woman to woman. I'm calling it to tell you, that's my man.
Yeah.
You know,
so
I mean, side chickery is always, as we lay, Kelly Price, you know, like I,
you
we both
an,
know.
You have an anthology of
side chickery songs. like, they're just so many, you can call them top of head. But you know, that's what I'm saying, that it's always been there, but it's never been proudly proclaimed. Before, if Susan was your side chick, Susan would stay in the shadows until. The only reason we'd know she's your side chick is because the little kid looks like you.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, damn, little Bobby looks
but
a lot like Tamisha.
We'd still be like, wow, that's strange.
That's a really crazy.
Yeah. How crazy is that? Yeah. But we all know, but we can't say it.
Yeah.
It's good that we can come out and say it, I suppose, now. That's what being
you
modern
think?
Is all about. Yeah, in a way, because now we have to be honest with
ourselves. I feel like there's no shame, though. We've lost our sense of shame. And I feel like you need a healthy dose of shame
function
in society.
Yeah, we need a healthy sense of conscience, good or bad conscience.
Yes.
We need a sense of, we've drawn a line in the sand. This is what's good and this is what's bad. Mm. We might not always be able to attain goodness.
Oh,
and we admit it because we are weak.
Deeply
we're humans.
Flawed.
We're flawed. But we're going to keep trying.
Yes.
At the moment, we're at a point where we're like, look, I'm a man. I'm full of mistakes. So you know what? Let me just say it up front. I'm going to marry you. But having said that, you know I'm a man, so I'm going to mess up.
Yes.
And not once, not twice, but a lot of times.
Yeah.
So live with it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like,
that's sad.
That is the sad part. Like, I was actually watching a comedian this morning, Jared Carmichael, and he, one of his jokes is, when a man proposes to a woman, the thought that goes through his mind is not, like, when he's on one knee, he's not like saying, oh my God, I love you so much, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. He's like, the only thought that goes through a man's mind is, oh, fuck it.
Oh my gosh, really?
And, like, and then he goes on to explain what he means, and he's like, it's like, you know, oh, we've been living together for so long, fuck it.
Yeah.
She knows all my quirks. Oh, yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah. May as well do this, right?
May as well just
That's
jump
so
into
sad. Like,
shit.
Like, what happened to the romance,
what?
Though?
Romance, though,
like,
dear?
It seems like if you talk romance,
it.
There's something wrong with you. You're either
I miss
weak
it so much.
Or you're dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Or you need a hug because, you know, you didn't
Maybe.
Have a dad.
Yeah.
So that's why you're talking this romance stuff. Get real. I feel like society's saying
so
that stuff.
Much.
You know what I mean?
I miss it
and
so
it's,
much.
And it's so unfair that we're not allowed to be romantic. We're not allowed to be in love.
Yeah.
And everything that comes with it. I've realized now,
yes.
You know, that I'm in love and I'm very happy and things are going great for me. But there are aspects of people in society who are very cynical. And it's almost like you shouldn't be so happy. Like you should always have, I'm in love, but you know, sometimes she gets on my nerves. You should
say stuff like that.
There should always be a but.
Be as miserable as the rest of us, damn
yeah,
it.
You know what I mean?
Like, stop this shit.
And I think that goes to everything. So it's even from a point of view of I'm doing really well.
Yes.
Hey, Candy.
Yes.
You know, the career's taking off.
Mm.
I just bought a new Porsche,
yes.
For goodness sake.
Yes.
Or a Maserati. British.
I know. Go on.
Yeah. But, you know, it really chows gas. It's almost like you should have that thing off.
Yes.
But the insurance is crazy.
Yes. Like, why aren't you highlighting the negativity for us? Like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
But I also find that that's what the problem with dating or society is, right? Like, men are no longer romantic. And they're allowed not to be romantic,
yeah,
right?
It's like, have to be cynical.
Romance is like, I paid for the meal at our first date and be grateful.
That's it.
And you like,
that's what I did.
Yes. And you're like, excuse me, like, you know, aren't you going to court me? Aren't you going to be like, you know, do romantic things. Like, that's what I miss. I miss people being romantic. I miss people surprising you. I miss, you know, the calls that someone makes just to check on you in the day. Like, back in the day, like, romance used to be great. You'd get a handwritten note. You'd get a rose.
Yeah.
Now, romance is like, I'm going to send you an emoji of a rose and tell you I miss you. And
I think we've been hurt a lot. We're a hurt society.
But aren't we all hurt?
We're like, that's why I say we're a hurt society. So we've become afraid of dreaming collectively.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Malcolm Gladwell.
Yes.
As I do. You know.
As you do, Mr. Intellectual. Wow.
And he was saying that there is a mental threshold that we all have. And that threshold is the point at which the number of people who agree on one thing will affect my idea of that thing.
Okay.
Give you an
Elaborate,
example.
Yeah.
Why do mobs happen?
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the mob were generally normal, you know,
sane
people.
Yeah.
And now they're throwing stones and things like that, and they're
like,
burning stuff.
What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened is people will not do something because it's wrong.
Mm.
Up until a point that enough people are actually doing it.
And now it becomes okay.
And then it becomes okay because it's like, everybody's doing it, so I may as well do it too.
Yes.
Those people who do not do that have a higher threshold mentally for what their own beliefs.
Conviction.
Mm. That's exactly what it is. Oh, I'm glad you put it in that word. So he was making an example about Wilt Chamberlain back in the day. He was a famous basketball player.
Yeah.
One of the best ever.
Mm.
But his only problem was he couldn't make a free throw to save his life.
Yeah.
Until one season, he learned how to make a free throw underhanded.
Okay.
Now, he made most of his free throws that year. And had he continued doing that, he would have probably been the most amazing basketball player of all time forever.
Yeah.
Because he was already scoring so many points.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, he just decided to stop.
Yeah.
And go back to throwing the ball.
Conventionally.
Overhand.
Yes.
Conventionally.
Mm-hmm.
And his free throw stats went down. When asked about it, it was like, it just wasn't cool. And he would rather be cool than to succeed. A lot of us sabotage our own success because everyone else is doing it. So everyone else is not romantic. No, all the other guys I know don't send roses. Yes. All the other guys I know don't pull out chairs, don't open doors, don't write notes and send it to their wives. So when I do it, I just feel awkward, even though I know it's right.
Yes.
And so what I do is maybe I might try it for a while and it might work for my relationship. But then I realize that the teasing and the, oh, hey, here's Mr. Romantic. We're out having drinks. Yes. And he's telling us, it's 7 o'clock, guys. We usually have dinner at 7 o'clock. So I'm going home to be with my wife and kids. And then he stops doing that and watches his marriage fall apart.
And you'd rather see that than actually fix it, right?
Just to be cool.
And that's the biggest problem. Like, I mean, for me, I'm a sucker for small gestures. Like, you don't need to wow me in the most extreme way. But, I mean, just the smallest thing, like the fact that you thought something out is like, it's so romantic to me. Like, that's what matters, you know? And I find that we've almost become accustomed to dating assholes. That's the bottom line. Like, you accept behavior because you're like, ah, but all men are assholes nowadays. All men want to be taken care of
hashtag
nowadays.
All men are trash.
Men are trash. Hashtag.
Oh, so sad.
2017.
Yeah. Like, that's just stupid. Actually, no, listen, can we address that?
Okay. Okay.
Okay, finish your point because we need to address
that. No, I just wanted to say. So it makes more women adopt a certain attitude, like, okay, fuck it. If you're not going to be romantic, then I'm not going to be, like, you know, great to you either.
Yeah.
You know, we're just going to kick
it. So we have these mediocre relationships.
And we have all these mediocre relationships because no one is willing to bend.
Yes.
You know, because.
So you're not the best you could be in a relationship because you're like, why am I investing in him
if he's not even going
to. Why should I go to a Thai cooking class just because he likes Thai food? Yeah. No, stuff this guy.
Yeah. And you're also so cautious of being too nice. Because everyone's like, oh, women who are too nice, you know.
They get taken advantage of.
And that's true, unfortunately. Like, when you're too nice, you're not the main chick, if that makes sense. It's like, you're not the main priority, you know, because it's like, oh, she'll always be there, though. Like, she'll always be there, so it's okay. So I want that bad chick who hangs up the phone on me and tells me I'm trash and, you know, who runs away. Whereas this chick over here, she's always cooking me Thai food and she's always so perfect.
Maybe I had to go through what I went through.
In order to appreciate
it. In order to get to a point where I'm like, thanks, but I'm not having that life. Yeah. I'm not going to be with somebody ever again for the rest of my life that is going to be mediocre about our relationship.
Yes.
That's going to be mediocre about me. You know why? Because I've been there, done that too many times. And I realized that it gets you nothing. All it does is, at the end of the day, you break up anyway. And it's probably going to be a nasty, ugly, horrible
breakup. And now
you're going
to be miserable.
And you're going to be miserable anyway.
For a couple
as opposed
of days.
To, you know what? I went and got this person that I'm with right now is not the best for me. And I know it. And I'm going to break up with them so I can make room for someone
better
who will be great to me. And you know what I'm going to do? When I meet someone who's great to me, I'll be amazing to them. What do we do to
I'm
each other?
Treat them all.
Most people gave me this advice after my second marriage fell apart. T, you know, you're too nice. Eh? The next one, don't give so much. Don't do so much. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, is everybody crazy? So I must live the rest of my life just being selfish.
Looking over your shoulder.
And hoping that the person I'm with is going to be not be selfish while I'm being selfish.
Yes.
Is that ever going to really work?
Yes.
I made a couple of mistakes. I was with the wrong people for too long. I can admit that and say, next time, when I see that this person is selfish, I'm not going to stick around.
Yeah.
That's what we should all be doing.
Yeah. And so let's go back to men are trash. You wanted to clarify that men are not trash.
Okay, no, I wanted to say that.
Do it for the men out
there. No, some men are trash. They're just like some women are trash. There's some men who are trash. There's some women who are trash. There's some men who are great. There's some women who are great too.
But can we say that it's a justified hashtag for the society?
It's a lousy hashtag. It's a stupid hashtag.
Okay, look, I've got two brothers that I love dearly. I've got a best friend. I've got, you know, a lot of main friends in my life. No, and they're not trash. And I wanted to say, like, I think the biggest problem is we are living in a society where a lot of men are doing bad things. And what makes men trash at the end of the day is probably the fact that men are not standing up to the men that are trash and that are doing trash, you know? Like, women are coming out and saying, look, men are trash. And they are the reason we're saying men are trash is because this is what they're doing.
But how do we know that men are not doing that?
No, but see, I think if enough men were standing up.
We're not out in the streets beating up these guys.
No, like the fact that you can continue hanging out with a guy who is trash. Like, you know, a man who's doing really trashy things.
I need that to be qualified.
That is a problem to me. Okay, so qualification in what sense?
So, like, the reason you're saying that men can hang out with men who are doing trashy things.
And not necessarily reprimand or tell his friend that, you know what you're doing, I can't hang out with you because what you're doing is really trashy.
Okay.
Like, okay, so for example, right? If a man comes out and he is awful to his partner, or you, I don't know, like a Harvey Weinstein situation happens and you find out that this man has been doing really shitty things, there's still going to be men out there who are like, ah, oh, friend, I'm still your friend, you know, society's crazy, they'll fix it or whatever the case is. And I mean, no one...
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go on.
Is someone like Harvey Weinstein completely irredeemable?
Mm.
Could someone in Harvey's life not at some point have said to Harvey, hey, Harvey, I'm your friend and I'm a real friend. Is a real friend not the kind of guy who'll say to Harvey, hey, Harvey, what you're doing is wrong, man.
But how
it's
many,
not right.
How many times can you say to someone what you're doing is not right before you decide to remove yourself from that person's situation?
But that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
You see, a lot of people, what you're saying now mm-hmm. is you're talking about people who are not your real friends.
Yes.
Your real friends will tell you more than once.
Yes.
They'll even try to save you from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They'll even say to you, we are not going to that place because you know you have a problem.
Yes.
And they'll even get to a point where they're like, for me to remain your friend, I have to remove myself from you because I can't be around you and let you do this.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
I bet you Harvey Weinstein did not have those friends. You know why? Harvey Weinstein was a very powerful man.
Yes.
So most of the men around him were sycophants. They said they were his friends, but really they were just yes men.
Yeah.
They were just there to go, ah, yeah, you did that. Oh, wow. And yeah. What did Gwyneth Paltrow do? She just rolled over and took it. Wow, Harvey, you're the man.
Mm.
Someone should have said, Harvey, that's wrong, dude. That's crazy. Why would you do that? You not only are you married, but that's hurtful to the people you're doing it to. And it's just wrong.
Mm. But
he didn't have any real friends. He had people who were there because they wanted a piece of his power.
But this is where the problem lies for me. It's, yes, there are those people who were yes men, and they're the problem as well. Those are the trashy men we are referring to right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we also must not forget the people who... the people who turn a blind eye. The people who pretend like things are not happening. The people who pretend like they do not know when they do know. So that is the collective of men that are referred to as trash. So you ask me why the hashtag men are trash is happening. It's because the majority of men are not standing up, right? So very few men are actually doing what you are suggesting and saying, oh, listen, you know, what you did was really trashy. And
well, I'm going to give an example then.
Yes.
Are the majority of men rapists? Are the majority of men abusers?
Of course not.
Are the majority of men cheating on their wives?
Of course not, yeah.
So clearly, it's a minority of men who are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at things as they are and say, okay, there is a small minority of men who are doing things that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We need to rid society of them. We need to do it together.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I've learned is painting everyone with the same brush just makes men more defensive.
Mm.
So it actually makes them less ready to do what you're suggesting right now. It makes most men go, why should I be part of this? Why should I help out? Because even when I'm helping out, I'm being told that I'm trash.
Mm.
As opposed to saying, there are some men who are trash.
Yes.
And we as society are going to find those men.
Yes.
And do something about it. But the moment you say, all men are trash, you have also put out into
the universe,
the world. You've said to the Lord, to God, that I see men that way, and the only men I will reflect back in my life are those kind of men.
Mm.
So don't be surprised if every man in your life is trash, because that's what you said. Men are trash.
Look,
but if you say there are some men who are trash, I'm going to avoid those.
Yes.
There are some amazing men out there.
Of course.
And I know who they are, and I want some of that.
Yes.
Then you'll find that in your life. So
precisely.
I say that all men are trash is a stupid saying, because all women who say that always find men who are trash. Have you noticed that every single social media feminist who's come out and said something bad about men, there is not one social media feminist who's in a happy relationship? How many social media feminists do you know who have a great man by their side? I don't know any. They're all a single women who have a child or two or three.
Oh, wow.
And a man or men who are the father of those children who's not looking after them. I have not met one who's in a happy relationship with a great man.
No, I don't think that we should be reflecting that. But I do think that the reason this is probably coming up in the way it's coming up is because a lot of the time abuse and unhappy relationships or bad things have been swept under the rug, right?
Yes,
so the people, so it's almost like the straw that broke the camel's back. So it goes from saying, okay, there's some men who do really crappy things and trashy things, and then the outburst or the reaction to really shitty things that are happening is, you know what, let's paint all men with the same brush, which is awful because we can't paint all women with the same brush. But I think that there's a justifiable core to this. I don't think all men are trash because I'm surrounded by really incredible, amazing men.
But I do think
that men do need to stand up to their peers and to their counterparts and be like, we won't accept this kind of behavior from you.
Oh, definitely.
As a friend.
Yes, we do. But we need to also be empowered by the rest of society. Otherwise, we become vigilantes.
Yeah.
And that's something that we also don't want to do. Because now we go out there and we start beating people up and we start telling them where to get off. We start throwing them out of public areas and things like that. And then people turn around and say, you can't do that to my son or my father or my, my husband.
Yes.
Because who said he was actually trash?
Yes.
Who are you to say that? I didn't blow the whistle on this guy. You know what I mean? You can't be the judge and jury. I think that we have to be empowered by society as men again. Because at the moment, the problem is we've taken men and we've disempowered them, and then we expect them to do things that are powerful. But think about it. There are so many good men who are doing amazing
good things,
but we never talk about it. We take it for granted. It's like, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be a good man. Yes, you are supposed to be a good man, but wouldn't it be nice to actually be encouraged? Because the more you encourage someone, you can there's only two ways to approach a man, either as a king or as a warrior. If you approach a man as a king, he will behave like a king. You approach a man as a warrior, he'll go Shaka Zulu on you. It's that simple. So we need to empower our men, and we need to make our men understand that they have a role to play in society.
Yes.
And that's reclaim that role through the power that we give them. At the moment, we've empowered the wrong kind of men. What we've empowered is these guys who make lots and lots of money, are social misfits, and go out there and sleep with underage women. And we've said, That's okay. And I've seen it even in families where someone's wife would look up to that guy. What about, say, next door? Who drives a Porsche. But we know he's trash. Then the father of this house, who works really hard at his job, he's doing his best, but unfortunately we only have a Polo lying here. And so therefore, this guy is not being empowered to say, it's not just about the money.
It's not
guys.
About cash,
It's not about cash, it's about the substance.
Integrity.
And at the moment, South Africa, it's just about the money. How many times have we looked at someone and said, oh, he must be amazing. Why? Because he's got cash. Or we let things slide because a guy's got cash.
Money.
But a guy without money
is not as valuable to society.
It's not as valuable to society.
Yeah.
Like, what do you know? Like, have you ever listened to a guy who's talking about integrity, especially in the corporate world, in a career or in business? And he says, I refuse to do certain things, and I believe that in life, you know, if you want to get ahead, you have to do the right things, and you have to work hard, and you have to be good to everybody. I'm still getting there. I'm not there yet, but that's what I believe. And we let him talk.
That is true.
And inspire us. No, we're like, what does he know? Like, shut up. You haven't made a million yet this month.
Like, get your cash right.
Get your cash right. And then this other guy comes and speaks who has the outward
appearance of success.
But inwardly, we know he's corrupt.
Yes.
But we listen to him because, hey, you know what?
It's so-and-so. Okay, but can I tell you something? I feel like the biggest problem is we're not raising our young men correctly, right? So firstly, we raise our kids, our young boys, to believe that, oh, you know, your standing in society and your worth in society is defined by your material wealth. So they grow up believing this. And then we also raise our young boys to believe that they are entitled to certain things that they may not be entitled to. So you are entitled to treat a woman like a commodity if you have financial influence.
That's right.
Women are there to serve you. Women are there to ABC. And then what the problem is, we raise women to fit into that stereotype. So we raise women to believe that your worth is tied to a man. If you are single and 40 or 50 and you don't have a man, no matter how successful you are, you have no worth in society. Because where are your kids? Where's your family? You are not
a woman
enough.
Yeah.
How dare you? Yeah. How dare you dare?
Yeah.
Like, you know, to live greatly without a man by your side. So I think until we can change both paradigms.
That's very important.
We're going to raise a broken society
because
time and time again.
There will be women who are very hardworking, who are very honest, and they haven't found the right guy. And they will not settle for a mediocre man.
Yeah, and
we should be clapping hands for that woman,
exactly,
right? And saying, you know what, lady, you're a great example. You have not settled.
Mm.
And some way, somehow, we're going to believe in your fairy tale with you. There
yes.
will come that day when that man will arrive. And should he not arrive, it's okay. Did you live your
be
best
okay
life?
Alone.
Yes or no? Yes, you did.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes.
And that's where we change the narrative for women. For men, it's your integrity is your integrity.
Mm.
Rather, you don't reach the highest highs materially. Because you can,
but you're good.
We should know the difference between being rich and being wealthy. You can still be very wealthy and still and live within your means,
yes,
but not have the material stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And have integrity and be a good man. And that's the kind of man we would rather you were in our society.
We need to value. We need to bring back values and respect.
And our culture needs to reflect that in what we're doing now. This thing of lobola, we should go back to it and say, okay, guys, lobola was always there to say, our family is meeting your family.
Mm-hmm.
And as a gesture of goodwill, just to say, hey, guys, we appreciate this woman that you're bringing into our family. Because in our culture, we are taking you to be ours now.
Yes.
You are our daughter. Not our slave, not our property, our daughter. We're going to love you like a daughter. That doesn't mean that you no longer have your own family.
Mm.
They're still, you're still their daughter.
Mm.
Okay? But what we're saying is, as a gesture, we're giving you something to say thank you that we're probably going to use in the wedding anyway. Nowadays, what we do, we make lobola a commodity. Our daughter is young, beautiful, a virgin. Why? Because she doesn't have a child. and she's educated. So we want 150,000. Unfortunately, this guy can pay 150,000, and then he's like, I bought myself a bride.
It's the problem with society is being commodified as a female, right?
Mm.
Our bodies are commodified. Your worth in society is commodified by the way you look. And I mean, I'm not separating myself from this narrative. I've come to understand that my value in a lot of times and the opportunities I've received a lot of times is because people find me appealing or they find that I look a particular way. So they commodify that and they're like, I want to do business with you because I find you appealing. Or I want to give you this contract because I think you appeal to my sensibilities. And I mean, I know this. You know, I do know this. It's not like, oh my gosh, look at me, poor old me.
Mm.
It is unfair. It is unfair that you have to come across in a particular way in order to be taken seriously. But anyway, this is too big a topic to tackle in an hour.
Don't give up on it.
But
Give up on it. It's not too big a topic. I think we'll get there.
We will get
there. I think we'll sort it out.
We will.
At the end of the day, I think our problem in society is we do these things that are crazy, right?
Yes.
We come up with these rules and these conventions and then we wonder why they bite us in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
But we have created these rules and conventions.
Yeah.
For women, I'll go back to this one thing. You don't want to be commodified. And yet, you will not allow yourself to fall in love and start a life with a man who does not have material means.
Mm-hmm.
So, a woman will say things like, oh, child, he was lovely and I loved him, but I couldn't marry him because, you know, he hadn't gotten his career in order and he wasn't making that kind of money just yet. Maybe the guy wanted to be a high school PT teacher.
Yes.
That's all. That's that, because he wanted to talk to young men and women and instill something in their lives. For him, if he just did that well,
yes,
and that was his calling, he'd be great. But he's never going to buy you a Range Rover Sport.
Okay, but would that not be fair to say that I think every woman or every person should date according to their own ambition and according to their own what they see for their future? So if a woman, I feel like it's unfair for a woman to date a man whose ambition is to become a teacher and make a difference in that particular way and expect her and expect that particular person to all of a sudden change their dreams and ambitions.
Yeah.
I do, however, think that it's also unfair for a man to sell a woman dreams and sit there
don't
and
tell
say
her a lie.
Yeah, don't sit on your couch for like the past 2 years and say you're building a business and you're trying to become something. No.
Yeah.
It's also unfair for a woman to carry a man who isn't bringing their part.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what happens also. So let's not judge all women for not sticking it out with someone who's
I'm not judging
trying
all
to
women.
Build.
That's not fair.
You know, I'm just saying.
Nah, that's not fair.
Because that is another discussion and debate all on its own.
What are you trying to do to me here?
That's another debate.
I'm saying
that's another debate.
I'm saying something here that's important.
Yes.
We need to be honest. All of us need 100%. To be honest.
Be honest, like, as a man, be honest that, baby, listen, I my dream is not to drive a Mercedes. My dream is not to have a Porsche. My dream is not to be international. My dream is to be local and make a difference where I am. And it's to be, you know, a teacher, which is a great thing to be. We need more of those. However, in this Instagram society, everyone is flaunting wealth they do not have to impress people they do not know. For followers,
they don't even like.
And exactly. So it's like, we're living in a pretentious society. So I think the biggest thing that can be valuable in today's society as a human being is be authentic, be genuine, and be honest about who you are. Don't sell people pipe dreams that you cannot live up to. That is the bottom line. And as a woman, don't go for a man who has declared who he is and then all of a sudden stress him out because all of a sudden you want things that, you know, you knew he would never be able to provide.
Yeah. Especially with Christmas coming up. Have you noticed that? Christmas decorations.
We've got like all of a minute to talk about Christmas.
I just find it weird that we are doing Christmas decorations so early.
No, it's not. It's not that early, T. It's the 26th of October. November's
only. Is it a gentle reminder that you actually don't have any budget to buy anyone Christmas presents?
No, it's a reminder that people are about to get into debt for December. You know, like, December's the funniest time for me to witness. And it's like, South Africans, we get ourselves into debt in December to pay it off in January. So we're going to buy all these big cars. We're going to be flaunting. We're going to be Mr. Pop Bottles in the club.
Yeah.
And then January's going to come around and you're going to be like struggling with your first car payment.
But do you think that it's because even Christmas has become commodified to a point where it's not about family
anymore? Oh, no. Christmas was always a commodified holiday.
I mean, it's one thing to be commodified, but like, it's not even commodified for the family. It's now become popping bottles. That means you're not with your family.
How dare you not post your yacht pictures on Instagram?
You're not with your wife and kids. Yeah. If you're on a yacht, like, they don't need that.
Like, okay, we're not even making it that deep. I'm talking about people who are like 25 to like even 65, who are flaunting stuff.
I would hate
to be
a 25-year-old man right now in this day and age with you
man,
guys.
Woman, it's tough as well. It's tough out here for women as well.
It is tough out there for women because, like, you have to make yourself look and dress up in a way that doesn't always suit your finances.
Okay, excuse you.
Not you
my
personally.
Finances
you know,
just
I'm just
fine.
Talking about it's just a general fine. You, not a personal. Oh
I know,
gosh.
I know, I know.
English 101. So who has not your mother's tongue, ne?
Hello, do not judge my English. Okay.
On that note, we'll come back next week.
Guys,
that was a great conversation.
We will deal with
myself.
This again next week.
Yeah.
We love you. Thank you for tuning in. And we will see you next week. Be kind, people. Be kind, be loyal, be authentic.
And this is a young lady that I really love because she's got the most amazing voice and she's got lyrics to always suit her beautiful songs. I think we should all listen to her sometimes.
Okay.
Here's one of her latest, and it's one of my favorite. Suited, Shekina.
This is CliffCentral.com.